Well, so the movement, the Million Student March,
movement.
Is a movement for a more equitable and fair system of education, as opposed
equitable.
To the really corporate model that we have
fair.
Right now.
You know,
so the three core demands of the National Day of Action are free public college, a cancellation of student debt, and a $15 an hour minimum wage for people who work on the campus.
And how's that going to be paid?
Great question.
Paid.
I mean,
the government will just print more money.
I'm not sure if you're talking about the national level or at particular schools. I can sort of touch on both.
She could touch.
You wanted all that stuff. Someone asked to pick up the tab. Who would that be?
Oh, that'd be the rich people.
The 1% of people in society that are hoarding the wealth
the hoarding.
And really sort of causing a catastrophe that students are facing. I mean, we have a relationship right now where 1% of the population owns more wealth than the 99% combined.
Because that 1% is providing goods and services that people such as yourself keep giving them money for. Apple Corporation. Microsoft, health insurance companies, the banks. How much money are the banks making off of the interest on your student loans? If you would stop spending money on all of this stuff, then these corporations wouldn't have so much money. I mean, the corporations don't just get money printed and given to them, unless, of course, they're the banks, or if they're defense contractors. But all these other people, all these rich people, they're rich because you keep buying what they're selling. Tell you about my dreams, but it's pornographic.
Them. They're smart folks, these people, these 1% hoarders, right?
Right,
so
right.
They leave
like
here,
Donald Trump, they know how to avoid paying income taxes because they hire accountants. They're smart.
If they leave
the country.
The country, you dumb bitch.
Oh, I mean, there's always going to be a 1% in the U.S.
There's always going to be a 1%? Oh my God, like totally. Well, her daddy must be proud. Like, my little princess went on TV, and she embarrassed herself. But it doesn't matter, because nothing's too good for my little princess.
Do you think the 1% could pay for all of this?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. I love her pauses. Where she has to process stuff. Let's try this. Hey, great one. How would you pay for putting... I'd print the money. Well, great one. You can't just print money because we print money now. Yes, you can. Don't tell me we can't print money. We're printing money hand over fucking fist right now. We can print all the money we want. Oh, but great one. Don't you think it's unfair? Yes. Yes, I do think it's unfair.
Your parents, your family... would be happy to pay a little bit more to provide these guarantees and benefits.
Pause.
I come from an incredibly working class
Change
family,
the subject.
And my family is already on numerous forms of government assistance and is
welfare.
Scraping by, in order to get me through college.
Why are they sending you to college?
I live in a world and I see a system around me where there's a population that's doing nothing to contribute to the progression of society.
Yeah, you! And when your looks are gone and you're alone, I don't even remember what she looked like, but I don't think she's got those going for her. What were the things you wanted for yourself? Teenage ambitions you'll remember when. Well, I want a horsey and a fur baby.
We're very rational, loving, accepting, non-xenophobic, and Syrians, come on over.
Come on
actually,
over.
I'm in Pennsylvania, so woo, we're still accepting refugees.
Now this is one of them occasions where the homie's not doing it right.
Found in my hoe you found a hoe that you like, but you can't, but you can't let a hoe vote. You can't.
It all boils down, you're gonna find in the end a bitch is a bitch, but a dog is a man's best friend. So what you found, you a hoe that you like,
but you can't let a hoe vote. You can't let a hoe vote.
Smoke weed every day.
This is mine.
This is mine. You do not get to take other people's property that is legally theirs in this country.
Man, fuck your laws.
Man, fuck your laws, right? That prevent you from killing my filthy, nasty little ass. Fuck your laws. Fuck your laws. Me too. I'm a mud person. Fuck your laws.
We'll be screeching loudly, preaching, understanding while we...
Remember, little cunts like that one that say, fuck you laws. These are the people that the leftists on college campuses are protecting. That's the people that the leftists on college campuses want you bring more of them over here. Fuck your laws. Fuck your laws. Fuck your laws.
So I sprint to the co-op. I get two blue books.
Because I didn't buy those ahead of time.
I'm sitting down
because I'm a woman,
I text
can't
my friend
plan
who's in
ahead.
Class.
So I'm
this
in class
like,
and I'm texting.
I'm in the third row
instead of paying
and I
attention.
Turn around and she's not in the third row. I'm like, I don't know why you can't count, but you're not there. Like, I'm in the first row, you're in the third row. That's not happening. And then I look around some more and I'm like, I've never seen these people before. And like, okay, I haven't been to class. And I'm like,
right, because you don't go
but
to class.
Still, like, I
just
don't recognize them. So I asked this girl, I'm like,
college.
This is RTF, right? This is like world cinema history. She's like, no, this is physics.
Physics, that involves math.
Okay, then where's my exam? I text my friend,
once again,
and she's like, you get different classroom assignments for your exam. We're in HOG.
How are you
so
in
like,
college
oh my God.
And you don't know
and I run,
your final exam
and I straight
is
into
in
a window.
Different fucking room? And she ran into, just like a bird,
people.
She flies into a window.
So I scream an expletive and move two
of course you
feet
did.
To the
did
left
you,
to an open door.
Did your expletive have a capital letter on it
HOG.
And you screamed it? As long as that intro is, I'm not sure I will ever get tired of that. Yeah, it's a little long-winded. That's like a 7-minute intro, but goddamn, that's fun. All right. So I was looking through my material here and flipping through this issue. We're still on the same issue of the Collegian. This is episode 3. We're on the same issue of the Collegian. This is the move-in edition 2020, the CSU Collegian. And I'm flipping through it to make sure I got everything that I had highlighted as being an article I needed to cover. And I saw this one, which I had not noticed when going through the Collegian this morning, sitting by the fireplace at 0700 this morning, drinking my coffee next to a fire, which was beautiful and chirping or crackling or whatever the word is for the sound effects that a fire makes, and having a good time and enjoying my life because I'm not a loser who's obsessed with microaggressions. Somehow or another, I did not see this one. I looked at it, and I looked at the headline, and I thought, this probably really isn't going to be, I mean, not worth reading. And then I started glancing at the article, and I read a little here, and I read a little. I'm like, you know what? Yeah, I think we got to do this. So I've read a couple of paragraphs in this, but I haven't read the entire thing. We're going to take a chance on it because I think this is going to turn out to be good. Where's my ink pen? There it is. By the way, just in case anyone's confused, because I didn't announce this in the last couple episodes, I am the Great One himself. I am the founder of the Cynical Libertarian Society. I've been on the internet since 1999. I've been podcasting for 15 years. It'll be 16 years on the 1st of November, in the year of our Lord and Savior, the Trump and Fuhrer 2020. I am right. I'm always right. I've always been right. I will always be right. I have never been wrong. This podcast is not a safe space, especially not today. Here we go. So first of all, anybody want to take a wild guess what this article, which is an entire page, other than there's a photograph. The photograph is about a, it's like a 20% of the page. The rest of the page is nothing but text. So this is a fairly long one. That's what she said. Anybody who's listened to the previous two episodes of the College Kid Cast, you want to take a wild guess what this article is going to be about? If you guessed how racist white people are, you guessed correctly. So let's delve into the racism, The racism, my friends. That's a new word. I just made that up. The racism. Racism of white people. Here we go. This is written by somebody named Paige Moorhead. I did not look Paige Moorhead up. I don't know if I will. Here we go. Small hinges swing big doors. That, it sounds like this would be an article about married people that are into wife swapping or something. Well, it sounds like it would be about cucks. Small hinges swing big doors. Supporting black, black is capitalized, owned businesses. As we take to the streets to protest an attention whore and post to social media to denounce racism and police brutality and attention whore, we must also remember as consumers, which is why there's a rich 1%, because you keep buying the stuff they're creating, where we spend our money matters. Okay, but you don't have any money. That's why you have to take out loans to go to college, because you don't have any money. One of the ways to join the movement for equity. Oh, hold on. So I already wrote this one down. We're going to put a mark every time we hear the word community. Equity. All right. Equity. There's the first one. One of the ways to join the movement for equity is supporting local black, capitalized B, black owned businesses in our community. Denzel Schallenberg. Was he a black or a Jew? Sorry, colored person or kike. I forget what the correct terms are this week. They change so much. Denzel Schallenberg. I'm serious. Is he a colored person or is he a kike? I'm really is a local Reiki teacher, massage therapist. Oh, wait, this is a woman. Wait, I thought Denzel. What did I say? Did I say Diesel? Dezel. D-E-Z-E-L. Dezel. I thought this was a guy. I thought that was a boy's name. I don't even remember what I said. It was 20 seconds ago. Dezel Schallenberg is a local Reiki teacher. Reiki, whatever that thing is. I don't know what Reiki is either. If you don't know, it's like yoga, but it's more woo. It's even more woo-woo. I really don't know what the fuck it is. Like chakras, I kind of know what that is. This Reiki thing, I have no idea what it is. I think it's kind of like chiropractic. If chiropractic and chakras got together and had a bastard child, I don't know. It doesn't matter. Massage therapist. And also teaches self-defense classes. I'm going to learn to defend myself from a woman. She is the owner of Black Lotus Healing Arts. Quote, loving an individual black person, it gives you a chance to have more empathy, Schallenberg said. Quote, if you don't have black is capitalized, friends in your circle, doing business with capital B black people is another way to expand your circle and learn about us. So you see, you need to expand your circle and learn about black people because you see, black people are different. If black people were just like white people, you wouldn't need to learn about them. You don't have to learn about things you already have knowledge of. That's why women are constantly having to look for themselves and find themselves and learn about themselves because they have no self-awareness. They have no self-knowledge. I don't need to learn about myself. I know that I can eat chocolate cheesecake all day long. I know that I like Supergirl. I know that I like to yell at the internet through the podcast. I know that you cocksuckers should send me more cuckbucks. I know that Adam Piggott is Australian. That's not me. I know my cock is huge. I mean, right? I don't need to fucking learn about myself. Schallenberg said that one of the most valuable parts about supporting capital B black-owned businesses is simply the human side of it. Quote, all of my work is interacting with humans, Schallenberg said. Quote, I feel like because I can interact with so many different people on a business level, I can send more compassionate humans out into the world. She thinks that simply the act of her interacting with other humans makes them compassionate. Wow, these capital B black people, they're like magical. They can turn other people compassionate just by interacting with them. Gina Michelle is a local licensed massage therapist. Okay, in this article, are we going to talk to any actual real business owners? Okay, being a licensed massage therapist is not the same thing as being a business owner. A business owner has employees, and they do things, and the business owner does things, and he pays employees. So he creates jobs for other people, and he pays taxes. Being a licensed massage therapist means that you took 14 classes on the weekend about how to rub people's shoulders. This doesn't mean you've generated a fucking ounce fuck of economic activity. This is not a business owner. Gina Michelle is a local licensed massage therapist and owner of Malama Massage and Body Work. Okay, does it actually have a storefront or is it just something you made up? Michelle said it is important for community. Michelle said it is important for community support, but it must be for the right reasons. And you must discover the reasoning behind your desire to support. I assume that sentence means support capital B black-owned businesses, but it doesn't really say that explicitly. See, it's not just enough that you support a capital B black-owned business. You've got to support it for the right reasons. See, this is the thought control. It doesn't just matter what you do. You have to do it for the reasons that the capital B colored people approve of. Quote, it is because what black capital B owned businesses have to offer, you believe. Oh, sorry. I fucked that one up. Quote, is it because what black owned businesses have to offer, you believe is essential and valuable to your community? There's that word again, question mark. Michelle said, is it because you've had a deeper awakening that people behind capital B black-owned businesses go through societal pressures, microaggressions, and inequities, yet still persist to put themselves out there as business owners? Oh, you're so oppressed. You poor, poor thing. You're so, oh God, you're so oppressed. I mean, how many times in the last week have you had to hide from the bands of Ku Klux Klan members who are riding around on their horses looking for black people to hang and shoot? Oh, wait, actually, you're hiding behind affirmative action laws and hate speech laws. You're not hiding from any Ku Klux Klan members, because there are none. Her quote continues, "Is it because you've become curious about someone who has a different life experience has to offer the community?" No, I have no interest in what capital B colored people have to offer the community. None. Absolutely none. "Is it because you see our humanity?" Oh, man. You see, there was a time when I considered colored people to be humans, but I've had this shoved down my throat so many times, over and over and over and over. Hey, guys, just keep poking white people with the stick, okay? Just keep poking them. Keep poking them. Keep poking. Because when the race war finally happens, it's going to be bad. It's going to be really, really bad. I mean, it's going to be brutal. It's going to be terrible. There's going to be so much built up hatred and resentment that when it finally breaks, the atrocities are going to be beyond anything that has ever happened, except, of course, for the Hoaxacost. We know the Hoaxacost was the greatest atrocity ever because it involved the fucking Jews, and the Jews can't shut up about it. The atrocities in the impending race war are going to be beyond anything anyone in the United States has ever fucking seen. So just keep poking white people with your pointed stick, okay? Great one. Was that a spear chunker joke? No, but it should have been. If I'd have thought about the whole spear chunker thing before I said pointed stick, I would have used that. That would have been funny. I will use that in the future. Keep poking us with your spears. "Is it because you see our humanity and have compassion for recognizing that we too have similar goals for living and working and prospering where we live?" Unquote. Really, is that why you burn things down? Is that why you burn down buildings when you're unhappy? Because you have similar goals for living and working and being prosperous where you live? Is that why the neighborhoods and all the big cities that are primarily filled with black people are all also slums? Where it's nasty and it's filthy and there's trash all over the fucking streets and there's crackheads laying in the fucking alleys? Because you're so interested, you have such goals for living and working and prospering where you live? Is that what's going on? Michelle said she believes, remember, when you believe something, it's because you don't have evidence. Michelle said she believes shopping at capital B black-owned businesses shows allyship, because when we treat all business owners with genuine support, unless those business owners have a Trump sign in their storefront, we lift the entirety of our community out of inequity. So actually, we need to track inequity. Inequity. So there's two inequities. Only one equity so far. Two inequities, five communities. Remember, guys, 2 + 2 = 5. Quote, my God, Michelle is talking some more. Okay. Quote, "When we support the community supports us," Michelle said. Quote, "Every business owner wants to have a sense of pride and belonging to the towns they've rooted their business in. Patronage builds that with a sense of belonging and warmth And this gets passed back and forth like an energy loop that has the potential to never end. It has the potential to become stronger and bigger within its, say it with me, guys, community. You know, this is the sort of woo-woo shit I expect from a 22-year-old blonde white girl. I honestly didn't know black women had become so stupid that they were saying things like this. I really didn't. Like, if you just read me these quotes and I didn't know, capital B colored person. If I didn't know that these quotes were coming from a capital B colored person, if you just showed me the quotes, I would tell you this is a 22-year-old white girl with blonde hair. Joe Buckner. Oh, we're finally going to get an opinion from a man. Okay. Joe Buckner is the owner of Beautifully Savage, a local boxing and physical fitness center, which is currently shut down because of Wuhan. I don't know where the gyms are here in the People's Republic of Fort Collins. If they are open, I'm sure you got to wear a mask. If you're boxing, you have to box with your muzzle on. I can see them in the ring sparring. This has nothing to do with it being a black-owned business. I can see stupid people in Fort Collins, two fucking stupid little white Fort Collins fucking diversity freaks who believe in Wuhan in the boxing ring sparring with each other wearing muzzles. I can see that. Joe Buckner is the owner of Beautifully Savage, a local boxing and physical fitness center. He said the conversation of wanting to help capital B black business is occurring as more people see violence through the camera and social media screens. Is that the violence of the black people rioting and burning down their neighborhoods where they want to live, work, and prosper? Buckner said, it is necessary to promote businesses that are in alignment with who you are as an individual. I completely agree. That's why I would like the businesses that support Trump to actually put some Trump signs out there. You know, I figured this out today. BLM is not a Black Lives Matter thing. BLM is actually a marketing campaign for businesses. You see, what people think happened is that these protesters came up with BLM and they went out there and they're protesting BLM and everything like that. And then these corporations, in order to virtue signal that they agree with BLM, put the BLM signs up in their windows. No. What's actually happening is the corporations put up their BLM sign and their "We support BLM" and their BLM on their website, and then the BLM protesters go out with the BLM signs and they're advertising for the corporations. So not only are black people being used as cannon fodder by liberal Democrats, not only are black people being used as cannon fodder by the femistatist, but the black people are being used as a marketing and advertising outlet for the corporations. Quote, we're quoting Joe Buckner, quote, less for me right now is let me intentionally find capital B black businesses to support, Buckner said. Quote, I'm paying attention to who's being silent and who's not taking a stand and making the conscious decision to never support them again. Okay, there it is. There's a colored person admitting that if you don't have a BLM sign in your window, he's not going to give you business. Which is fine. But when I stop giving you business because you have a BLM sign, don't tell me how fucking racist I am. See, so the colored, capital B colored people, they can decide where they're going to spend their money and not spend their money based on their racism. But white people are not allowed to decide where to spend and not spend their money based on their racism. Racism is good if you're a capital B colored person, but if you're white, you know, if your ancestors actually did something, created something with their lives, you're not allowed to do that. If you come from a country that has electricity and indoor plumbing, well, you're evil. Buckner said the African American population in Fort Collins is not even 1%. Yeah, that's why I'm still here after 20 years. Which leaves few black, capital B black businesses to care about. Good. You could go somewhere that has more black businesses. There's nobody forcing you to stay here. But you really like it, though, in a city that's 99% non-black people, don't you? Because no buildings are getting burned down during BLM protests. You see, you complain about how racist it is here and how only 1% of the population is black, yet you don't leave. You can go to another city that has more black people and start your business there. No white people are forcing you to stay in Fort Collins, okay? The Fort Collins chapter of the Ku Klux Klan is not patrolling the borders of Fort Collins on horseback and shooting any black people that try to leave town. Do you capital B colored people, do you really not understand why I despise you? Do you? Do you really not understand it? Are you really true? This is a real question. Are you really baffled about why I don't want to associate with you? Are you truly unclear on which parts of your behavior make me hate you? Buckner said, that's not a knock against black, capital B black business that exists, but exposes the difficulty in Fort Collins to find a capital B black real estate agent or capital B black mortgage broker or a capital B black banker. Because you see, we black people, we all this time, white people segregated us in the South and we fought against segregation. And now that we have affirmative action and forced association, see, now if I'm going to go to a bank, I need a banker who's also black. So wait, do you guys want to integrate or do you want to segregate? Can you at least make up your mind? And you're not women, so don't give me women have an excuse because women don't know what they want because women don't know anything about themselves. You're a man. You don't have that fucking excuse, okay? You can play the black card, but that only takes you so far. Black men have self-awareness, all right? You're not women. You're not that fucking stupid. Quote, the conversation I want to start. Do you want to have a conversation about race? Is that what you want to have? Do you want to write on my coffee cup? The conversation I want to start leading is how do we get to that point where there are more capital B black business owners because, oh God, we are one of the racists. Hold on, I need a minute. Okay. The conversation I want to start leading is how do we get to that point where there are more capital B black business owners because we are one of the races that have zero economic basis in this country, unquote. I I don't know. Maybe if you guys did all that fucking welfare money that black people have gotten, maybe if you hadn't fucking smoked it all as dope and shot it into your veins as heroin, maybe you'd have some economic power. Buckner said, the one thing we can all do right now is to be the best person we can be within our space without worrying too much about being like Martin Luther King Jr. or Malcolm X. Guys, none of you are ever going to be like either of those men. I mean, despite their flaws, at least each of them had an actual ball sack. I don't think any of you are in danger of acquiring a ball sack. He said, we have to get outside of thinking that everything we do has to be massive. Quote, small hinges swing big doors, Buckner said, spoken like a true homosexual. Quote, we have to make small incremental changes where we're at. We have to move through this world with empathy. And of course, we also have to use the government to force people to associate with us through affirmative action laws, hate speech laws, hate crime laws, forced integration laws. There are actions the community can take to create a more inclusive, diverse environment, Schellenberg said. No, there's a period there. That was me. Schellenberg said she feels like people show up during times of crisis, but they don't show up every day. Well, yes, dear, that's because other people might have lives. Quote, what that looks like is saying to your friends when something racial comes up, that's racist. I don't want to hear that, Schellenberg said. Quote, it goes a long way. You may reach some people who will then hold other people accountable. It will no longer be a racist echo chamber, unquote. Bullshit. This entire fucking issue of the Collegian is a fucking racist echo chamber. This is a bunch of fucking racist people writing about how racist white people are. Michelle said another gesture our community can take is urge local police to remove Blue Lives Matter flag decals from their police vehicle. So you see, we, capital B colored people, we have freedom of speech. We can have our Big Lives Matter stickers, but the police, they're not allowed to have their stickers. Because you see, the police are a bunch of white people who are part of a systemic racist organization. She said, though the meaning has evolved to support families and communities of officers killed in the line of duty, it is a direct counter movement to Black Lives Matter. Hold it. Stop. Full stop. So the Blue Lives Matter, whatever it is a direct counter movement to Black Lives Matter. Okay. A direct counter movement to Black Lives Matter would in fact be the stereotypical Ku Klux Klan. It would be people who are literally Hitler killing black people just because they're black, because black people, literally Hitler, don't matter. So you're telling me that the Fort Collins police are an organization that literally kill black people. It is a direct counter movement to Black Lives Matter. I could only wish. I'm not sure. Quote, I'm not sure how many people know that, Michelle said. Nobody knows it because it's not true. Quote, in my opinion, oh, stand back, everybody. The black woman's got an opinion. In my opinion, this is another example of offensive appropriation. Yes, because you black people have so much that the rest of us want to appropriate, you know. Get ready, everybody. This is going to be offensive. Nappy hair. Smelling bad. Poor personal hygiene. Do-rags. Having sex with 12-year-old virgins in order to cure diseases like AIDS. Yes, you have so much that we white people just so desperately want to appropriate, you know, what with our electricity and automobiles and roads and railroads and indoor plumbing and birth control. Police lives historically predominate black lives. We all know blue lives matter. Of course, their lives matter as they risk themselves every day during duty. But I think we can communicate the support of safety for our police officers in a different way. Or you could go fuck yourself. I think we can communicate the support of safety of our police out in a different way. You don't like the stickers. And because you've been told that you're so entitled, you just want anything that you don't like to go away. I mean, when you live in a fantasy world where you think everything that you don't like, everything that makes you uncomfortable should go away. Well, obviously you're a white woman from North America. But when you think everything that makes you uncomfortable should just go away, I can understand how you walk through the world seeing these microaggressions everywhere. Now, I really can't. I can see why these people are so fucking pathetic and downtrodden in their own minds, you know, and unhappy. It's just constantly looking for stuff like this. Michelle said that when she witnessed that flag on a police vehicle, it feels like a threat and makes her wonder whether her life would matter if she was in need or if she got stopped. You know, when I see a bunch of capital B colored people burning down businesses and throwing bricks through windows and assaulting white people with blunt objects, it makes me wonder if my life would matter if I was in that neighborhood. Oh, but see, I'm racist. See, that's racist. When a black person does it, it's okay. When a white person does it, it's racist. Oh, God. Quote, my son. Okay, so Michelle has a son. Okay. Quote, my ask me, what happens when I become a man? Unquote. Okay, well, first of all, you're not going to become a man because I'm willing to bet money you don't have a father. Michelle is probably a single mother and you're not going to grow up to be a man. Best case scenario, you're going to grow up to be homosexual Worst case scenario, you're going to grow up to be a soy boy. Quote, how many times does a white community member contemplate the fate of their lives in a day? We have other things to think about. We're not constantly walking around trying to position ourselves as victims so that we can get attention and get free stuff and get other people to change their behavior so we can feel good. We don't contemplate the fate of our lives. We're actually doing things. The quote continues, my skin is not like a uniform that I can take off and walk around in the world unharassed. Now is the time to create change. Oh shit, community. I forgot to count community again. Got it. Once again, like you black people, sorry, capital B colored people in Fort Collins, this thing where you think that you're being harassed all the time, you're not. You create this fantasy about how you're constantly being harassed. Because you want to be constantly harassed, because you want to be a victim, because you know that being a victim is your source of power. Here you are, single mother, getting welfare to raise your fucking kid, owning your own business, so you claim, and oh my God, you're just so harassed. You're so oppressed. You're so downtrodden. Michelle said the deepest and most long-term action we can all take to combat racial inequality is to look within ourselves and ask what has come up for us. She said, if you feel at a loss of words, keep feeling your feelings. Okay, guy, I want you to look inside yourself, and I want you to ask, what has come up for you? What's come up for you? I mean, how do you even respond to something this stupid? Michelle said that no matter what stage of awakening you might be in, to keep going and heal these feelings and strive to uncover compassion. Meanwhile, Michelle is going to keep pushing to have the police forced to take Blue Life Matters stickers off of their cars because it scares her. Quote, this is our chance for growth and maturity. As a collective consciousness, if you believe in fate or a higher source consciousness, then perhaps you also believe that this experience is no accident, and we are meant to consciously evolve through these present moments and heal all the way back to familial and ancestral histories. We are meant to grow out of human disparities through our lifetimes. Experiences will repeat until we wake up, learn, and change. I sincerely hope you will answer the call to dedicate yourself to a more peaceful and equitable community. A community that we will force you to be a part of, thanks to affirmative action, forced association. The word community appeared 13 times. 13 fucking times. You don't create a community by forcing people upon each other. It doesn't work. And we're finding that out. All right, let me look at this real quick to determine. Ooh, I should save that one. Oh, man. I got a bunch more material here, trying to decide which ones I have time for. Take a wild guess what they're all about. That one's way too long. That's what she said. That one might be too short. This one could be just about right. Headline, this can happen in the smallest of cities, in the smallest of towns. Students rally after shooting of Jacob Blake. 3 days into this semester, this is from the August 27th issue of the Collegian. We finally finished the move-in issue. Now, if we're only moving on up to the east side, moving on up. Oh, my God, that was racist. I talked about this a while back. It's been probably a couple of years now. So the TV show, see, now I'm going to blow it. Now I won't be able to get this in. But I do want to throw this out for those of you new listeners since I talked about this. So way back in the day, there was the TV show All in the Family, which was about Archie Bunker. One of these days, I want to rewatch that, get it on DVD. Okay, so there is a character that appeared in All in the Family every once in a while called George Jefferson. He is this black guy that lived in the neighborhood and owned a dry cleaning store. Well, then they did a spinoff series of that with George Jefferson. He opened multiple stores and he was successful and he moved on up to the east side where all the rich people are at. And he lived in this big condominium tower with his wife and their maid. And it was a situation comedy, you know, 30-minute episodes. And a couple of years ago, thinking about it, you know, I finally like Netflixed the disc or whatever and watched it. And see, here's the thing. This, I don't remember what year this was. You'd have to look it up. But the Jeffersons, they said on the Jeffersons on TV, they said the word nigger. Not like every episode over and over and over. But the thing is, they dropped the bomb. And the episode looked at race-related issues. And two of their neighbors, you know, the guy, what were their names? Damn it. I can't remember right now, but it was they were married, and it was a white guy and a black woman. And George Jefferson would always refer to them as the zebra because he didn't approve of the black woman being married to a white guy. But anyhow, the point is, I got the first disc or whatever. I watched some of the episodes, and I was very pleasantly surprised at how fucking good it was because it looked at racial issues. Occasionally, and this is the point, not every fucking moment of every show was about racism being shoved down your throat. Like, it brought those in, but it brought them in very subtly. It brought them in very tastefully. It brought them in intelligently. It didn't beat you over the head with it. And the show, it's funny as hell. I mean, it held up for me. I'm sitting there watching these things. I'm laughing my ass off. It was funny as hell. And you contrast this to the way that, you know, these were just the capital B colored people now. It's just beating you over the head with the laws and calling you a racist and insulting you. They have no personality, no sense of humor, no creativity. It's just, oh, Black Lives Matter. If you don't agree, you're a racist. You're literally Hitler punching Nazis, burning things down, throwing bricks through windows. And I'm not even, I don't think, in my estimation, in my evaluation of the Jeffersons, it was not a show about anything that, it was not a show about race. It was not a show about racism. It was not a show about racial situations. It was a sitcom that was funny about these people, and race-related issues occasionally popped up. And so not only did they bring attention to race-related issues sometimes, but when they did it, most of the time it was fucking funny. But you see, we can't even have humor anymore. We want to fucking talk about racism all the time. Our current society is what I say we. I don't mean you and me. we live in a society where everybody wants to fucking talk about racism all the time and obsess over racism. But my God, you can't even make it funny. If we could at least make it funny, it wouldn't be that bad. But my God, no, you can't even have a sense of humor about it. All right, 3 days into this semester, Colorado. Anyway, the Jeffersons. Check it out, man. One of these days, it's one of those things. I wonder how long before that gets banned. And see, Archie Bunker in All in the Family, for those of you who don't know this, he was something of a racist. And so I'm wondering how long it'll be before that gets banned also. There is actually Archie Bunker episode that involves the Ku Klux Klan. There might even have been a couple of episodes, but I do remember one very specifically. But we're not going to go down that path right now. But eventually, never mind. I don't want to, no spoilers. Go watch All in the Family. God damn it. All right, here we go. 3 days, and let's get back to the colored bee, black people. Instead of capital B. Oh, that was good. That was good. That's totally accidental. The colored B, black people. The capital B, colored people. Whatever they are this week. The pox. Whatever you guys are called this week. I can't keep up with it anymore. I'm not. I'm done with it. I'm done with keeping up with whatever you're called this week. 3 days into this semester, Colorado State University students are voicing their concerns. They're not studying. They're not avoiding Wuhan. Of course, here's pictures of all these students. There's no social distancing going on. They're out here protesting. What about Wuhan? Voicing their concerns surrounding racial injustice on campus and across the country. Hundreds of students gathered at the Oval Wednesday evening to march in solidarity with protesters in Kenosha, Wisconsin, after police shot 29-year-old resident Jacob Blake in the back 7 times. Okay, see, I'm done with the Zoom. Okay, see, I don't know where this is now. Anyone remember Breonna Taylor? When it first happened, we were told she was sleeping in her bed. And all of a sudden, I did my thing. I said, hey, you know, the cops shouldn't fucking break into people's houses and shoot at them, and the boyfriend shot at the cops, and that's what I would do if you're laying in bed and the cops break into your house. You don't know what's going to shoot. I don't know what's really happened, but this is why one of these days this is one reason why this is not a current events show, because I don't want to talk about current events, because you usually never find out what really happened until 6 months or a year later. So now I'm hearing that Breonna Taylor, actually, they had a warrant for her name, and she was somehow associated with the drug dealing or something. And I don't know. I'm not saying it's true. I'm saying I don't know. But this is why I don't know what happened here with this guy who got shot in the back. My first question, though, is what was he doing in the 30 seconds before the cop shot him in the back, right? George Floyd, the peaceful giant, was just minding his own business when the police showed up and choked him to death. And then we find out that he's acting crazy and insane, and he's got all these drugs in his system, and he's trying to fucking resist what the cops are telling him to. Oh, and suddenly the story is just very different. So when I hear all this stuff about how, well, the police shot this black man 7 times in the back. Okay, great. Until I know what the black guy who got shot in the back 7 times was doing before he got shot, I'm not going to say the cops should have shot him, but I'm not going to say the cops shouldn't have shot him, because I don't know what the fuck happened. And I'm tired of situations where, like Breonna Taylor, where I don't want to say I took the side of the black people, because I didn't take the side of black people because I thought the black people were right. I took the side of freedom. Based on what I knew at the time I made that commentary, I took the side of freedom. These people are in their bedroom. It's midnight. They're sleeping. If you're the police, you don't no-knock bust into somebody's house at midnight and expect to not get shot at. I took the side of freedom. As I saw it applying to the situation as I understood the situation. Turns out my understanding of the situation may have been very, very wrong. Quote, "I'm from Kenosha," unquote, one student speaker who wished to remain anonymous told the crowd. So what? I mean, okay, so you're from the same town where this black person got shot 7 times in the back. That doesn't make you an expert on anything. I mean, are you a manager at Starbucks? Because you're not really an expert on things unless you're a manager at Starbucks. Quote, "My family still lives out there, and having to call in the middle of the night and ask if they were okay was one of the worst things," unquote. Yes, because I know whenever somebody in my hometown gets shot by the police, I call my family to make sure they're okay. So what? Because the police shot one black person, you assumed that the police were going to shoot all the other black people in town? I mean, is your family a bunch of fucking criminals? If the police are out shooting criminals, your first assumption is to worry that your family might have been gotten shot also? Oh my God. What the fuck do you do with people like this? Well, apparently, if you're the Republicucks, you free them and give them 40 acres and a mule and you let them vote. The speaker described the fear that came with seeing both an incident of police brutality and the murder of multiple protesters tear through their hometown. The murder of multiple protesters. Pray tell, what murder of multiple protesters was this? Quote, "Panicked, seeing the pictures, seeing the video, and just knowing that it can happen anywhere." No, it can't happen anywhere. For example, Fort Collins, where we learned in the previous article, is only 1% pox. It's probably not going to happen here, because Fort Collins is 1% pox, and there's a bunch of white people with guns. It can't happen anywhere. It really can't. It can't happen in Bill Gates' neighborhood. It's not going to happen in Nancy Pelosi's neighborhood. It's not going to happen in Joe Biden's neighborhood. It's not going to happen in Jared Polis's neighborhood. It can't happen anywhere. It can't. It can only happen in places where you have a large population of pox coupled with a left-wing government. Knowing that can happen anywhere, even in the smallest of towns in this country, especially the small towns, nobody is safe. Be afraid. Nobody is safe. This speaker, this person who's from Kenosha and is thus an expert on these things, nobody is safe. This is the quote, especially the small towns. Nobody is safe. You could be at a birthday party checking on your children and they'll still kill you. It's fucked. Unquote. Yes, you, my friend, you could be at a birthday party checking on your children, and the police, picture me rolling, will just roll up in their squad cars and gun you down. Actually, depending on how you're checking out the children, the police might think you're a pedophile, and thus they'll think you're a politician, and then they'll protect you instead of shooting you, because that's what the police actually do. I know that these people think that the purpose of the police is to go out and kill pox. No, the actual purpose of the police is to protect politicians. And in that sense, the police are my enemies just as much as they are the enemies of the pox. But remember, my enemy's enemy is not my friend. My enemy's enemy is my other enemy. I've been saying that for fucking well over 10 years. You guys might want to fucking take heed of that one. Organized by the Colorado State Young Democratic Socialist of America. I mean, there it is. This protest is organized by the Democratic Socialist. The event, originally expected to draw only a handful of protesters, saw hundreds march on the perimeter of campus along South East Drive and west down Pitkin Street. As the march reached Braden Hall, wait, wasn't that one of the halls that was quarantined? Okay, I wonder if there's any... Anyway, as the march reached Braden Hall, chants of, quote, out of your dorms and into the streets, unquote, drew more students into the crowd, met with cheering from demonstrators. Numerous first-year students joined the protest, describing it as their first major campus experience since arriving. Okay, so you take your protest and you march to a dorm filled with 18-year-old kids who are away from home for the first time in the middle of a pandemic, and you encourage them to come out and join you in a crowd. Hold on. I've got to know this. Yeah, I'm back. Everyone just fucking keep your panties on. Yes! My God! The two halls that were shut down were Braden and Summit. Okay, so we're told it's okay for the BLM protesters to get together and violate social distancing because... If you're protesting BLM, advertising for the corporations, you're immune to Wuhan. So all of these people are marching, not doing social distancing. They go to Braden Hall. Students come out of Braden Hall to join the protest. And then later, there's an outbreak of Wuhan in Braden Hall. Now, do you think if the protest was white people protesting to end the muzzle laws and end the lockdown and this happened, don't you think that would be in the news? Quote, I hadn't been to any protest before, says Jamal, a newly arrived first year from Texas who wished to keep his last name anonymous. Quote, I personally haven't felt discriminated against here, but one city isn't enough. It's bigger than just here. Unless there's change everywhere, equality here means nothing. See, it's not just, I don't want... Unless there's change everywhere, equality here means nothing. Right? It's not enough that there's no racism in Fort Collins. Now, we've got to keep acting like morons until there's no racism anywhere. Because we're just invested in ending racism on the entire fucking planet. Multiple organizers and protesters spoke on demands to, 20-year-old college students who are members of the Democratic Socialist Party making demands, spoke on demands to defund the CSU Police Department, citing funding as excessive and reiterating demands from racial justice organizers across the country. Yes, the CSU Police Department. Sure. Undeclared. First unit. God damn it. All right. Deep breath. Focus. I'm getting worked up, but in the good way. I think I'm having fun. Take a fucking breath and I'll be able to read. Undeclared. First year. Yeah, that's what it says. Undeclared first year, Valerie Gonzalez. I think you meant to say undeclared first year student. Valerie Gonzalez, expressed her disbelief that a campus police department is, expressed her belief that a campus police department is unnecessary. Okay, right, until the moment that the first woman on campus gets raped. Then suddenly, we're going to need a college police department. I mean, this is, once again, I'm stuttering a lot today because I'm so fucking overwhelmed by the stupidity. I am completely on board with defunding and getting rid of the police departments, especially like on CSU campus. Yeah, let's do it. Let's get rid of it. Let's see how long that lasts. Let's see you suffer the consequences of not having the CSU police department. Quote, at a certain point, campuses do need to have security, but they don't need to have a full-fledged police force if they have things like resident assistance in place to help students out when need be. Unquote. Gonzalez, an 18-year-old girl with vast experience of the world, said. Well, oh, hold on. It doesn't say. Maybe she's a manager at Starbucks. Maybe that's how she knows so much about how things should work. This protest is the first for the school year, but follows the weeks of protest and rallies organized by the BIPOC's Alliance and Fort Collins People's Initiative for Equity after the death of George Floyd. One June event, organized by the FagTag Not Proud to Be group, that formed after the blackface incident last fall, asked for defunding of the CSU Police Department at the budget town halls hosted by President Joyce McConnell. One prominent organizer, Rob, who requested to be known only by their first name, voiced their doubts about campus action in addressing student demands surrounding defunding. See, we are the students. We are going to demand that the campus defund the police. Guys, the campus, the CSU doesn't give a shit about your demands. CSU is there to take your money and give you a worthless degree in exchange. CSU may look like they give a shit about what you want, because they need to do that to keep you just happy enough to keep coming back and giving them your money. Quote, the CSU administration cares more about the illusion of liberal processes in the sense of people assembling, people being polite, and debating, said Rob. Quote, they will let us march all they want, but they will never listen to us, unquote. That is correct, and yet you keep giving them your money and your finite life. So they're ignoring you, and you're giving them money. Who's the stupid person in this equation? That's my question to you, Rob. Who's the stupid person in this equation? So for a stupid person like you to be walking around making demands of people who are fucking you out of your life and your money, maybe you need to shut the fuck up and, I don't know, go on a little journey of self-awareness before you start making these demands. Among the crowd was Assistant Vice President of Student Affairs and Dean of Students Jody Donovan, who couldn't get a real job, who said she attended the protest because she wished to support student voices. Quote, Black Lives Matter is an important issue, and with what's going on around the country, we need to lift up these voices. I'm aware of conversations about revisiting the role police play on campus and when it's appropriate for them to respond to an incident, unquote, Donovan said. The crowd was met at the CSU Police Department building with counter-protesters who drove past multiple times rolling coal on the protesters. Rolling coal. Drove past multiple times, rolling coal on the protesters. I have no fucking idea what it means to roll coal upon someone. Probably because I'm not a faggot. Quote, I'm a student from a small town where the cops are known for being horrible to people, so I'm just glad there's an actual protest going on, unquote, said first-year student Sage, who wished to keep her last name private so as not to embarrass her father, who said that nothing was too good for his little princess, and so he sent her to CSU. After chanting, quote, hey, hey, ho, ho, that they haven't yet been able to come up with anything more original than hey, hey, ho, ho. After chanting, hey, hey, ho, ho, these racist cops have got to go outside of the CSU Police Department building for nearly 30 minutes. The march continued east along Laurel Street, blocking traffic on the way to the Oval. We're committed to students deeply, and we're committed to equity deeply, Donovan said. And we have lots of work to do. Oh, we have so much work to do. There's just so many racist white people out there that we've got to get rid of. We have so much work to do. Oh my goodness, no! Then there's some pictures here. There's some pictures here of the protest. Here's a picture here of all these people walking down the street. And what did we see in the picture? We see two black girls, we see some white guys, and we see a bunch of little college-age white girls. Gosh. I wonder who all of this is designed to appeal to. It's almost as if the corporations that are sponsoring the BLM advertising campaign know who their targets are. It's almost as if the corporations know who they're marketing to through their BLM marketing campaign.